Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, 1 John chapter 4. As we continue in our study. So, what have we been learning in 1 John? Been learning anything?
Love.
Love? I would say we've been learning about love. False teachers. We've been learning a lot about false teachers. Love false teachers. We've been learning about who we are identified as, children of God or children of Satan, and how that is clearly evident, John says. Okay, so 1 John, why don't we start at, let's start at verse 1, and we'll read up to our text. So 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is of the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And now to our text. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. May the Lord give us ears to hear. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now we remember from last week learning that this was love, that not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And what amazing truth that is, because we could not love God, but He loved us, sent His Son to take our place. When we deserved the wrath of God, Christ took it for us. So, beloved, John now writes, and for the fifth time, John reminds believers how we are conjoined in the bonds of faith and love. He uses the word beloved, which means dearly beloved or well loved. He reminds us that indeed we are joined together in the same faith, the same love, that we are unified through Christ to God. And a good example of this is Paul addressing his son in the faith. Does anyone know who that is? Timothy. Okay, He says, my beloved son, Timothy. And we all know how much he loves. He has a deep love for Timothy, his son in the faith. And that's the idea here when John writes, beloved. He's telling his children, beloved, the ones that I love deeply. All of us are joined in unity. We have the same faith, same love here. So if God so loved us, with if being fact. It's not, well, if God loves us, we're not quite sure though. No, it's fact. If God so loved us, which He did, we know that God has loved us, which we just read, 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested in us, okay, that we might live through Him. In verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He, what? Loved us. So there is no if. God did love us. God showed us just what brotherly love looks like, didn't He? How so? Well, by sending His only Son to die for you. God gave us an example of what brotherly love looks like, and that we too should follow this example of what brotherly love needs to look for. Therefore, we believers, God's children, also ought to love one another. Now, the word ought has a very deep meaning to it. It's not a suggestion. And let's talk about what it means. Ought is the Greek word ophilo. And it means to be under obligation, to owe, to be indebted. Okay? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, it means to be under obligation, to owe, to be indebted. Now, metaphorically, thank you, it means to be bound or obligated to perform a duty, meaning I ought to do something or I must do something. I must perform a duty. I'm obligated to perform such and such duty. So what would be this duty that we are obligated to do, that we are indebted to do? Love one another. To love. Love, which would be a continuous thing, to keep on loving. Not love your brother once and then stop, but to keep loving your brother and sister. Continuously, if you are a child of God, you continuously love. You continuously perform this duty. God has given us the perfect example, and we are to continuously follow that example, to aim for that example and keep after it. Even when we fall down, even when we fall short, we get up and we keep after that example, right? What is our goal here? To be like Christ. Every day that we wake up, we need to aim and strive to be like Christ. And that means love like He has loved. Our duty, our obligation, the debt we owe is to love. It's not a suggestion here. Ought comes with a command almost. Okay? We must perform our duty, and our duty is to love one another. Right? Love everyone, but especially who? The brethren. Fellow Christians, okay? Remember, it is the evidence, love. Our love for one another is the evidence that we are children of God. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I cannot call myself a Christian unless I have love for each other, right? MacArthur writes, God sending His Son gives Christians not only salvation privilege, but obligation to follow this pattern of sacrificial love. Christian love must be self-sacrificing like God's love was. Turn, if you will, real quick, and it was our verse for last month, Philippians chapter 2. Everyone turn there, Philippians chapter 2. In fact, we almost could have kept this verse for just for a couple of good 2 or 3 months so that we'd get it down, that we have this memorized, because we should be living this out. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I want us to hear, and I don't mean just listen, But hear what we're reading here. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Stop there. How many of us do things through selfish ambition and conceit? We all struggle with this. But what does it say here? Let some things be done with selfish ambition or conceit. Is that what it said? Nothing. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let's continue on. But, he says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Stop there. How many of us in here esteem others better than ourselves? Or are we too busy being selfish? Thinking about me, 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 I, number 111. But Paul is writing here that we need to esteem others better than ourselves. That is loneliness of mind. That's love. Let's continue. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Stop. Do we look out for each other's interests? Honestly? Do we truly look out for each other's interests? Do we even know what each other's interests are? Excuse me? What? Rarely? Okay, yeah, we might on occasion. Every once in a while. But guess what, guys? This is something that we should be tripping over to do. This should be our lifestyle, to continuously building up the body. That is our duty here on earth, to perform. To glorify God, enjoy Him, to love one another, to edify the body and build it up. So that we are unified. What did he say? Listen, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Have the same love. Be of one accord, one mind. And we can only do that by preferring others better than ourselves. By looking out for each other's interests. Family, we need to be doing that. And we might be doing that to some degree, but I think that we lack tremendously. But what a glorious thing it would be if Faith First Youth Ministry was known, was glorifying God through how we love one another. That people would see us and glorify God, not us. They would see us loving each other, looking out for each other's interests, esteeming each other better than our own selves. And people would see that and praise God. Because they would see God at work in our lives. Let's continue on. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Here's our example. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He could have come down here with an attitude, with a swagger, and said, guess what? I am God. I'm equal with God. Serve me. But he didn't do that. Never would he do that. Never, ever. He came and made himself of no reputation and took upon the nature of a bondservant. The lowlies of lowlies came in the form of a likeness of a man. That's pretty low. Right? God to come as a man? That's pretty low. But he did. He came humbly as a man and took upon the nature of a bondservant. Do we understand what that means? That God Almighty, maker of the heavens and the earth, the one who provides you with your next breath, you only have your very being because he gives you your very being. This God comes in the form of a man and serves, loves, gives up self, prefers other better than himself, and then lays down his life. That is our perfect example. Not almost perfect, semi-perfect, but that is our perfect example in which all of us in here need to be following. Amen? Turn back to our text, 1 John. I want you all to memorize that. Philippians 2, 1 through 8, please. A long time ago, when I was young, a brother in the Lord encouraged me to memorize that. And to this day, those verses encourage me and they help me to make sure that my mindset is right and what my attitude needs to be like. So I can't encourage you enough to memorize them, have them written on your heart. Matthew 11:29 says this, in Christ being our example, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest from your soul. Here he says, learn from me. I have been your example. I will be your example. Learn from me. John 13:15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Another, he's saying, I am your example. Do what I have done to you. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Guys, we should be following Christ's steps. This is not something that we should be thinking about. All of us ought to be following His steps. Amen? 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in Him ought, there's that word again, ought himself also to walk just as He walked. If we claim to abide with Christ, then we should walk just as He walked. Which is what the previous verse said. Following in His steps. Loving, serving, dying to self, laying down our life for others, spiritually and physically if need be. Verse 12 then. No one has seen God any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Now this is similar to what John writes in his gospel. John chapter 1 verse 18, which says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. In other words, this means that God is known by revealing Himself through Christ. And through Christ we know who God is, what He does, what He's like. Because again, God took upon the form of a man. Here though in 1 John, the idea is, though is He is not seen by human eyes, 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone has immortality, dwelling in the unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. But His love, God's love, is clearly demonstrated and is seen in the lives of who? Of His offspring, of His children. Though no can see Him, we can see His love. It should be demonstrated daily in you and I. His love can be seen, should be seen in us. How so? Well, by our obedience to His Scriptures, our love for Him and to each other. Barnes writes, "The idea is, He has never indeed been seen by mortal eyes. We are not then to expect to become acquainted with what He is in that way. But there is a method by which we may be assured that we have a true knowledge of Him, and that is by evidence that we love one another, and by the presence of His Spirit in our hearts. We cannot become acquainted with Him by sight, but we may by love. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Though we cannot see Him, yet there is a way by which we may be assured that He is near us and abides in us. That way is exercised in love." You guys get the point here? That He is seen through how we love one another. Do you understand that? Now, that's not to say, "Oh, that's too much pressure on me. I can't do it." No, we ought to be doing it. It's not a choice for us to love one another. It's not something to think about. "Well, you know, should I really? Like, that guy's so hard to love. I just don't know if I can do it." You're right. You can't do it. But Christ in you can do it. And you have a commandment to love one another, especially the brethren. Are we loving one another? Are we following in Christ's footsteps? Are we dying to ourselves and serving others? Are we selfless? Or are we selfish? What do people see in our lives? Do they see our lives and glorify God? Or do they see our lives and say, "Yeah, I thought that guy said he was a Christian. Or I thought she said she was a Christian. Doesn't seem like it." No, they should see our lives and they should glorify God. If we love one another, God abides in us. What does abide mean? Anyone remember? Very good. To remain. If God abides in us, He remains in us. He never will leave. And the idea here is not that we love one another so that He will abide, but if we love one another, that's because He is abiding. He is in us. And that's how we know that He dwells in us, because we are loving one another. It's not that, "Well, I must love other Christians so that God will stay in me." No. That's not it at all. In fact, the only reason we can love one another is because He does abide in us if we are a Christian. And He will remain. Thank the Lord. And, it says, and His love has been perfected in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love has been perfected in us. If God truly abides in us, His love will be perfected in us. Not that we are perfect in our love, because we are by no means. We do mess up. We do fall short sometimes. Sometimes we don't love each other like we should. Sometimes we do offend each other. Sometimes we say something that's not too nice about someone else. But if God is in us, we make that right, don't we? We go and seek forgiveness. So not that we are perfect in our love, but that our love for Him is evident by how we love each other. Do you understand that? I cannot say that I love God and then not go and love you. My love for God is clearly seen by how I love each other. How I love fellow believers. Your love for God is seen by how you love one another. If it is evident that you don't love your brother or sister that much, then what is that a sign of? That there's a lack of love for God Almighty. And that has to be fixed. In fact, what was one of the things that Pastor Richard wasn't even talking about? I read it. I thought it was good. He said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. If I don't love my fellow Christians, I don't love God. I hope we're hearing this. Which would be in contrast, not loving each other, in contrast to what is said in verse 20, which says, if someone says, I love God, and what? Hates his brother, what is he? A liar. A liar. Because a Christian, or someone who claims to be a Christian, claims to be a child of God, claims to be in the light where Christ is, and then goes and hates his brother, he is a liar. A liar. Can that be said of us? Do we tell our friends, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, you know, God abides in me. And then we go out and lash out at people, gossip about our friends, and hate our brothers and sisters. Guess what? We're liars. We don't love God. We're not Christians. John wrote earlier, you're a child of Satan. And what was the example that he got? That he gave? And what happened? Killed his brother. So do we understand that if we claim to be a Christian, there better be evidence. And that evidence is love for fellow believers and for everyone, but especially the brethren. Because if there's a lack of love in that area, there's a lack of love for God. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has never seen? He can't. If you don't love the person who you can see, you can't love the person who you've never seen. And thus proof that God does not abide in that person. But if there is love, if there is a self-sacrificial love for each other, if you see someone who's always going out of their way to serve, to love, to die for, you can see that God does dwelleth in that person. He does remain in there. He's at work in that person's life. I like, again, I'm going to quote MacArthur. I like how he sums it up here. He writes, love originated in God, was manifested in His Son and is demonstrated in His people. Originated in God, manifested through His Son, and demonstrated in us, His children, His people. 1 John 2:5, I'll close with this. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. Let's pray. Father God, may this word, the word that we have received tonight from your precious Bible, may it sink into our hearts. May it do its work in our lives. May it convict us, Lord, we pray, we ask. Lord, may we follow in your footsteps. We have you as that perfect example. May we strive to be like you. May we esteem others better than ourselves. May we look out not only for our own interest, but the interest of others, the interest of our brothers and sisters. May they take precedence over our interests. May we be a people who are selfless and not selfish. Let it be seen in our lives. Let there be evidence through our love for one another that we do love you. And it is clearly shown by how we love each other. Father, we pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.